Thank you so very much, Marjorie, for this reading. Again, thank you for being here in the building this morning, as well as on Zoom. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and meditations of our collective hearts be acceptable to you, my rock and redeemer. Bless me in the message on my heart for this morning, that it may be meaningful to your beloved community, so they can hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we continue this second Sunday of Lent, the season in the church calendar leading up to Easter, considered the 40-day period of spiritual preparation. This because we can use this time to evaluate where we are in our own spiritual journey and be honest about what can be next if we would be open to let the Holy Spirit lead us in an opportunity of self-reflection and deepening our journey with Christ. If you would be willing to be curious this Lenten season by allowing yourself to learn more about Jesus, I think you will be surprised, because it is in this time of Lent that we have an opportunity to seek to know Jesus more, know his messages, his life, and his resurrection. This is our season to grow our understanding of Christ and grow and strengthen our relationship with Christ, what you will sometimes hear referred to as a time of renewal in the wilderness. When I think of time in the wilderness, it is a time for retreat to rest, pray, listen for what God may be inviting you to consider, but yet is hard to hear because of the noisiness of our busy lives and full calendar schedules. The constant dinging of phones, not just with text, but phone calls and email notification. But there's the notification from the Amazon delivery, or the CNN late breaking news, or the ding of your Ring security camera whenever someone crosses along the front of your house. You get the idea. So much going on, and not just with the little computers in our hands, right? But with every part of our lives. So this idea of a 40-day of Lent, being in the wilderness, or a time of spiritual preparation, is an opportunity for intentional prayer, fasting, or taking on something new for renewal and strengthening of our faith. As you have heard me say, this Lent here at Twin Towers, we are looking at the Gospel of Luke in depth with the Monday book studies that are being facilitated by Deacon Judith, a 40-day reading plan using the Gospel of Luke. My messages for Lent will also be from Luke. So it is my prayer and hope, as well as invitation to you, to engage in one of these areas of conversation and reading. In the next couple weeks, I'll have some trivia. Deacon Judith inspired that at this past Monday's book study. So we're going to try and bring some trivia in related to the 40-day reading. But I think I'm going to leave it for the social hour afterwards so we can have some fun with that. So why am I inviting you to participate? Right? Why? Because I want you to get to know Jesus more through seeing and knowing more about his life and what he was like when he walked this earth over 2,000 years ago. I want you to get to know him more. I say this because Sunday mornings are just not enough, right? They're not enough. And we get to know others and areas that are of interest to us by spending time and learning more about the people and the subjects that are important to us. As your pastor, I know that the more you get to know the love of God through the life of Jesus, the more you will notice the change in your personal relationship with God, which I know a lot of you, or all of you, are probably also experiencing. There is a shift in our lives as our faith grows, so that the result is that when we face challenges on the journey, as I know we can all attest, it happens, because it does. And when that happens, be it to our health, finances, relationships, work life, friendships, the list is long. But you will find anxiety and worries that may not seem so overwhelming. The more we move towards a space of contentment that even in the face of major life challenges that include illnesses, we can still experience gratitude, hope, and peace. And even when we experience a life of faith that helps us cope better, there are the days when we just need our faith to be in a stronger place to help us in those dark and overwhelming moments. But once you experience that and know how that feels when you can cope with it, what I consider the extra boost, you want more of it. So I'm curious, how many of you are familiar with the Fast and Furious movies, right? I hear some there, starring Vin Diesel, his female friend character named Letty Ortiz, The Rock, the late Paul Walker, and so many other great actresses and actors, where the movie is about racing cars with a storyline attached to them. They are a popular movie since 2001, and there are over 10 of them. And in a scene that is consistent in most of their movies, there is a moment when the star is driving a fast car and is in a situation where the car needs to go faster for various reasons. So the driver then reaches down, flips open something that's covered where there's a button. He pushes the button, and in the movie you see how there's added power that is makes the car go faster. What is being pushed is nitrous oxide, which they refer to in the movie as NOS, which enables the car to go faster and therefore win the race. While highly explosive and dangerous, it is getting that added boost that I wanted to draw your attention. That is what it means to intentionally grow your faith. In those moments when life's journey is filled with challenge after challenge, it is easy to be overwhelmed. But having a faith that you can count on Jesus is my personal shot of NOS. This because you then know you are not alone. You can pray for strength, clarity of thought, and guidance for the situation at hand. However, I have known when my faith was not strong enough, or not that strong, because yes, I would pray for, but rather than waiting and discerning the leading of God through the Holy Spirit, I come up with actions I feel I need to take, and then I execute. Now, while some of them have worked well, in reflecting back and seeing how things turned out, I can see where God's leading would have resulted in a less painful journey. That is why I feel my call to help others experience the love of Jesus and grow your personal relationship with Jesus, which strengthens faith so we can be better equipped to deal with life's challenges and also then help others. I want your faith to be grounded so well in your relationship with Jesus that you are able to receive the support and love of others who reflect the love of God, because they too are compassionate and empathetic. Because we need it too. Even though our relationship and faith grows, there are the moments we need support. And so that's the reflection of that ripple effect of the love of God. And because of your own personal experience, you can't help but do the same for others. And that, my friends, is the secret sauce that is a result of the personal relationship with Jesus. What we hear is a faith built on solid foundation. That's my hope for you and for you during this season of Lent. Before we take a look at today's scripture and the focus of my message, I wanted to note that next Wednesday, March 8th, is International Women's Day. I would like you to reflect and consider the important women in your lives, those who have taught you, nurtured you, led you, those that are important to you. You may think of your mothers, aunties, sisters, daughters, granddaughters, wife. Or perhaps we think of leaders, mentors, allies, co-workers, teachers, Sunday school teachers, possibly female pastors, or other women and sheroes who have been important in our lives. International Women's Day is an annual celebration across the world that honors the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements and contributions of women while challenging the discrimination and oppression of women that still exists. In 1909, 15,000 women protested in New York for the first National Women's Day. They were fighting for labor and voting rights. International Women's Day was honored for the first time in March 1911, and the date was fixed on March 8, 2 years later, in 1913, exactly 110 years ago, come this Wednesday. In 2011, International Women's Day celebrated its 100-year centenary, and celebrations took place in Austria, Denmark, Germany, and Switzerland, the same countries that held the first event over 100 years earlier. And while the United States has come a long way towards equality for women, we still have a long way to go. On average in the U.S., women make 80 to 84% what men make for performing the same job. Less than 30% of our nation's elected senators and representatives are women. In the United Methodist Church, only 5% of senior pastors in the largest churches are women. Violence and harassment against women is a problem in the U.S. and across the world. In our journey through the Gospel of Luke, you will find that this gospel highlights the valuable role of women in Jesus' ministry. Jesus shows us a better way, one that values and treats women as equals. Jesus valued women, taught them, ministered with them, and lifted them up. It is helpful to understand some of the historical context for the way women were regarded and treated in the first century. In two ancient Jewish sources, Philo of Alexandria and Josephus, women were regarded as less than men. Philo thought women were weaker and less able to understand things than men. And Josephus believed the testimony of women was not credible and should not be submitted to court. Some first century rabbis believe women should not be taught the Torah. And in general, women were not permitted to be rabbis or priests. This is typical of the ancient Greco-Roman world, as well as the Bible. Men are named far more often than women, by a factor of more than 10 to 1. Understanding these factors, what we hear in Luke about women is quite noteworthy and amazing. The Gospel of Luke shows us how women were involved in the ministry of Jesus. Luke mentions women by name more often than any other gospel. It contains more stories about women and has women speaking more lines. Luke often tells a story involving a man, followed by a similar story involving a woman, as if to balance the narrative with men and women. And we hear this example in this morning's scripture that Marjorie read from us, from Luke 8, 1 to 3. And I'll just ask our tech team to please bring up that slide of Luke 8, 1 to 3. This passage shows us that women were among those following Jesus and learning from Jesus. That included Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and many others. These women were an important part of Jesus' ministry. at least some of these women, and some of these women actually provided for them out of their resources. That meant that they helped to make Jesus' ministry possible by supplying funding for the work, their own funding. From the second scripture from this morning, Luke 7, 36 through 39, it speaks to us about a man named Simon, a Pharisee who invites Jesus to his home. And I'll just let that kind of walk through the scripture. Pharisees were a sect of ancient Judaism who prioritized following the Torah. They had much in common with Jesus and his disciples, but they also experienced tension with him as well. Some of the Pharisees were drawn to Jesus. Some also found Jesus' observance of the law not rigorous enough. The Pharisees sought to separate themselves from sinners or people who society labeled as outsiders, while Jesus befriended those that society did not see or want to see. This is the context of the story in Luke 7. Simon the Pharisee is drawn to Jesus, invites him to dinner, but is taken aback by Jesus' reaction to the woman who washes his feet. Luke describes the woman as a woman from the city, a sinner. We don't know exactly what her sin was or why she had come looking for Jesus. There is room for speculation here, which I'll speak to a little shortly. But note Simon's reaction to what happens. He sees the woman as a sinner and assumes Jesus doesn't know about her background. He determines that Jesus must not be a prophet. Otherwise, Jesus would recognize who this woman was. The thing to note here is that Simon did not treat Jesus consistent with the hospitality extended to guests of the time. Perhaps, maybe, Simon did not have high regards for Jesus because he did not provide the typical welcome that was extended to respected guests, which would have been, it started with a kiss on the cheek. Nor do we hear of Jesus being provided a basin of water so he could wash his feet when he entered the home, because at the time they wore sandals and it was dusty, and so feet were dirty. So it was customary to receive a basin to wash feet. Also, Jesus was not provided scented oil that was customary to respected guests so they could freshen up after a long day's journey. It almost appears that perhaps Simon intentionally did not extend the common hospitality to Jesus, possibly a subtle way to put Jesus in his place. However, we do not hear Jesus say anything. He comes, he sits down as the meal is started and participates in the conversation. But then we hear that there is a woman who is identified as a sinner, but we are not told what she has done. Pastor Adam Hamilton, who wrote the book called Luke that is being used for our Monday book study, reminds us that we do not know why she is called a sinner. Was she an alcoholic? Was she an addict? Was she an adulteress? A thief? Or some thought her to be a prostitute? Hamilton, like some scholars, think that she perhaps had heard Jesus speak before. This wasn't the first time. And she may have heard him tell stories of God's mercy and love for people who have made mistakes or poor choices in their lives. So that on this day, she hears that Jesus was going to be at the Pharisee's home, and she is determined to see him close up. I imagine it took a lot of courage and determination for this woman, whom society at the time labeled as sinful, to go into Simon's home, especially since he was a Pharisee whom she knew how she would be seen. She then stands behind Jesus, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair, kissing his feet and anointing them with the anointment that she brought in the alabaster jar, we heard. We heard in verse 39 where Simon the Pharisee, the host who invited Jesus, must have been shocked as he says to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Jesus, knowing what Simon was thinking when saying to himself, proceeds to tell Simon a story about a parable of two debtors, two people who owed money, where both had been forgiven what they owed by the lender. One was forgiven a larger amount than the second person who owed money. And that the person who owed more will have greater love for the lender who forgave the debt, because this person's debt was so large. Simon agrees with how this story ends, that the person who owed the most would be so grateful for the gift of mercy and grace. Jesus then asks Simon something profound. And you'll see this. Look up verse 44. Simon, do you see this woman? Simon, do you see this woman? Where Simon sees a sinner, Jesus sees a woman in pain, possibly broken and ashamed. Jesus sees a person, a child of God, not a sinner. Jesus sees her, someone who needs grace, not judgment. Hamilton says that Jesus saw a dearly loved daughter of God. That is how Jesus sees us, you and me. He sees you and me as a child of God, and he sees our need for grace. No matter what you or I have done, Jesus does not see us as the world may see us, based on our gender or what we have done in the past. Jesus does not see you as your family or friends may see you. In fact, Jesus does not see you or me as we may even see ourselves. Jesus sees you and sees me in our struggles, uncertainty and hurts and brokenness. Jesus sees each of us as a person, as God's beloved. That as we journey through this season of Lent, a time of preparation and renewal, an opportunity to engage in ways to develop and strengthen our personal relationship with God by learning more about Jesus and his life in the Bible, and spending more time in prayer and reflection. So let me ask you to recall the women you thought of at the beginning of this message. What would not have happened, or what would have been possible without the valuable contributions of these women in our lives? What would they never have known? What would they never have done? What would have never come to fruition without their leadership and teaching and faithfulness? As we remember International Women's Day next week, we work to recognize the contribution of the many amazing women in our lives that are among us, that have been called home to glory before us, and from whom who have made a difference, and those that can be a source of encouragement and support. The reminder of Jesus' words to Simon, do you see this woman? Do you see this woman? The reminder to value the contributions of the women among us and the need to treat each other with dignity and sacred worth. Please, Lord, may it be so. Amen.